Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Hi, I'm Jay Richards at Discovery Institute, Intelligent Design the Future. Thanks for joining us. I am joined again by Dr. Michael Newton Keyes, who is a science historian, and we're talking about the popular series with astronomer Neil deGrasse Tyson, Cosmos. And we're calling it Cosmos 3.0 because it's really the third rendition of this series. First in 1980 with the late astronomer Carl Sagan, then a second time in 2014 with Neil deGrasse Tyson. It was a popular event. In fact, Discovery Institute covered it widely on our website. We even published a book responding to it later on. And now here in 2020, it's a third Cosmos series called Possible Worlds, again with Neil deGrasse Tyson. And so we're just talking about the things in this series that we think are most interest to us here at Discovery Institute. There's a lot of interesting science like you would expect in any high production value science documentary series. But there's also the recurring theme that we've come to expect from these series of scientific materialism. So we want to dig into that a little bit more with Mike Keyes. Mike, thanks for joining me again.
Glad to be with you again, Jay. Let's uncover the next level of myth here.
Yes, exactly. And so I remember in 2014, in fact, I wrote about this at the time, in the very first episode, there's this transition between Tyson and cool animation, and then this cartoon animation that's really quite striking, in which they would tell these stories from the history of science. And they told this story of this heretical Dominican named Giordano Bruno, who gets treated as a sort of martyr for the cause of science against religion. And they treated that at length in the first episode in 2014. They talk a bit about Bruno again here in the first episode of this new series. And so first, just at least here, what do they say about Bruno and what do they get wrong?
Well, in this first episode of 2020 Cosmos series, they refer back to the first episode of 2014, how Bruno was depicted as a brave and brilliant scientist who believed in the Copernican theory that the Earth moves around the sun rather than at rest in the center of the universe, and that he was persecuted for his scientific beliefs. And as I explained in one chapter in my book, Bruno was a brilliant philosopher, but he was not a scientist. And he actually misunderstood a lot of Copernicus theory. But they used as the poster child for Cosmos 3.0, Baruch Spinoza, a Jewish philosopher, Portuguese descent, but he was Dutch. He lived in Amsterdam and various other places. And Spinoza is also presented as a scientist or someone who was pursuing scientific ideas and was persecuted for it. But it turns out that just like Bruno was really not well regarded as a scientist by the standards of his time, Baruch Spinoza likewise actually denigrated some of the most promising developments in science later in the 17th century, about the middle of the 17th century. But he was expelled from his local Jewish social unit because of his idea that God was nature or some aspect of nature. Scholars kind of debate exactly what he meant by God, but the sort of God that Einstein found very attractive and publicly confessed his faith in, quote, Spinoza's God, that is worshiping nature as all there was, is, and ever will be, as Sagan and Tyson both tell it.
So there's something clever going on here, and people that don't know these two figures might not realize it, but as opposed to, you might expect a sort of a frontal atheism from this series, but you never got that from Sagan either. I mean, Sagan managed to be both a materialist, but also a humanist who wanted to spiritualize his understanding of nature and science, and I think you see that here. And so Bruno, so he was officially a Dominican, so that's a Catholic religious order. He was also an arch heretic, and so people think, yes, he was executed, and so it's depressing. It's sad that Christians at one time, we would either execute people outside our communion or even within it for various reasons. Nevertheless, his execution wasn't for his scientific views. It was for his radically heretical theological views. And so by any sort of normal definition of Christian theology, Bruno was a heretic, not exactly an atheist, but a sort of hardcore non-Orthodox Christian. And he's been for a long time a celebrated figure among people who are very anti-Christian. In fact, people who've been to Rome may even have seen this black very ominous statue of Bruno in the Campo di Fiore, which is across the Tiber River from the Vatican, leering back at the Vatican. And of course, it was put there by opponents of the church. And so he was a sort of celebrated figure. And then in this case, so they refer back to their detailed treatment of Bruno from 2014. But here in 2020, at the beginning, they're transitioning to a Jewish figure, Spinoza, who is a famous philosopher, but again, not an Orthodox Jew or a conservative Jew or a Jew that had beliefs that one would normally associate with Judaism, namely an idea of a transcendent God that created the universe. Spinoza was, by almost all accounts, some kind of pantheist in which God and nature were either just the same thing or very much wedded to each other. So rather than pushing us in this rabidly atheistic direction, it looks like they're trying to push us in a kind of pantheistic direction in which we will divinize nature, which I think is actually clever. I think that's much more appealing to a lot of people than the hardcore arid materialism. I mean, what do you think? That's my take, obviously, but what do you think about that in terms of what they're trying to do?
Oh, I think you're absolutely right, Jay. The Cosmos series, all of them, are replete with conveying a sense of awe when you stand looking into the face of nature. And they often anthropomorphize nature, you know, saying that it does this, and it's almost as if nature has intentionality and plans for the future and is striving to evolve into mind, which will then, once mind arises, then that's the way that nature has come to know itself, sort of sort of like an awakening. This is much more appealing to more people than hardcore materialism, where mind is just an illusion. It's just chemistry happening, and there is nothing truly meaningful. There's no moral categories and so on. Here he's actually urging us to certain kinds of behavior and certain kinds of attitudes in order to be sort of in sync with this view that we can become a part of something much greater and grander than just ourselves, and that nature and the study of nature is the key to understanding this almost transcendent sense of meaning that we can. He says, for example, that Darwin worshiped nature, and he refers to this approvingly, that we should worship nature, that this is a substitute for traditional religion. So it really is an attempt to draw people to science by means of making nature into a sort of god. And so Spinoza is the historical figure, an important philosopher, not a scientist, but he had friends who were scientists, and he did communicate with them. But Spinoza actually opposed the most brilliant innovations of the mid-17th century, which was to think of nature as a book that was written in the language of mathematics, as Galileo put it. And that because humans are made in God's image and God made nature, that we have reasons to believe that we can actually discover the mathematical rules that govern the cosmos. Spinoza actually opposed that component of 17th century science, and he's really not a good role model for the kind of philosophy that generates science-friendly culture, which is the very thing that Christianity and Judaism did, was to provide a cultural environment that encouraged people to understand the world because it's like a book that can be read. And a lot of that book is written in the language of mathematics, which you have to learn to interpret that book.
Well, see, that's really ironic, because we assume we're going to get a story about the sort of origin of science and the scientific revolution. And yet, for what I take to be, frankly, kind of philosophical and theological reasons, they tap in to Spinoza because he gives them a way to, sort of perpetuate a type of nature worship. I just think it's really important for people to realize this is not exactly the same thing as the new atheism, right? Which is hardcore materialism. They want to just completely debunk any kind of spiritual intuitions that people have. This is actually an attempt to reorient people's spiritual intuitions away from maybe the traditional object of religious belief and to rechannel it into focusing on nature. And I think, you know, that's why Spinoza here is such a key figure in the story that they're telling. But just in terms of their treatment of Spinoza, that is Neil deGrasse Tyson and the producers, how much did they get right and get wrong within the episode itself, would you say?
Well, Spinoza did, in the latter part of his life, grind lenses and became a fairly adept technician, grinding lenses for telescopes and microscopes. But there were a lot of people that picked up that trade. He was really a craftsman. First, he was a businessman, and his life might have been threatened due to a business deal that went sour, but he wasn't attacked by the members of his own Jewish community because of his heresy. was much, and this is, I have this in my article at Evolution News, where leading scholars who know Spinoza, who are themselves not Christians, really celebrate Spinoza as an atheist, recognize he really wasn't a martyr for science. In fact, the trend in Spinoza scholarship has been to recognize what I mentioned earlier, that he actually opposed the mathematization of nature. His theology was part of the reason why he opposed that, because he believed in a necessitarian God, that is, that nature just had to be what it is, that there's no choice in it. And he thought that mathematics was more a creation of the human mind that was being imposed on nature inappropriately. Whereas Christians and Jews, that is, believing Jews who believed in the scriptures, thought that God, by imposing order on the world, imposed a order that is intelligible to rational minds, that including mathematical rules. So they get right that Spinoza did communicate with scientists, that he was interested in and good at grinding lenses, but he wasn't an astronomer. His philosophy, which he was, you know, known as a deep thinker, his philosophy turned out to be the kind of philosophy that was opposed to some of the foundations of modern science.
And that, I assume, is simply not covered in the episode. There's a thread of Spinoza they used to connect, but they don't point out that, well, maybe this guy's actual philosophy was not the best for a kind of founding for modern science, it sounds like.
Yeah, that pretty much would have ruined their story, so yeah, they avoided that.
Really complicated cul-de-sac, obviously, and no retrieving. Yeah. This is really helpful, Mike. I mean, yeah, I think anyone that doesn't know the details of Spinoza might not realize that there were thinkers at the origin of modern science in Europe, Jewish, Christian, Catholic, Protestant, many of whom had ideas that were themselves conducive to modern science. And now you and I think that, in fact, that without those, science would have been, if not impossible, much more difficult to have developed. Right. And then you have some other thinkers who are not, you know, their thinking was not as conducive to modern science, Spinoza being one of them. But because of apparently his pantheism and maybe his kind of heretical beliefs, he plays an important role here at the very beginning of the Cosmos series, which have really just started talking about. And so we're going to have you back. We're going to talk about a few more of these episodes here at ID the Future. But Mike Keyes, science historian, thanks so much for joining me.
It's good to be with you, Jay.
I'm Jay Richards at the Discovery Institute, and this is ID the Future. Thanks for joining us.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.